Hello, this is Luke John Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Band show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Christy Pionkertsuk. I hope I said it correct.
Yeah, that's
She is,
right.
thank you so much. She is an amazing financial advisor who works with New York Life. She helps folks meet a number of insurance and financial needs like college funding, retirement, and more. And prior to that, she was an equity trader for a number of years. And she has a special place in my heart because she's a Baruch College alum, just like me. It's a great school. There in Baruch, she studied finance, and she knows both English and Thai. And we first met at a networking event, and we stayed in touch. And so we're so lucky to have her here as a guest. I know she's very busy, so she was able to carve out some time in her packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us, which is so great. First, I would love to know, your background and how did you first gravitate towards doing what you do today?
Okay, first of all, right, I do have like some passions to help people, right? So once I start working, when I graduate, I didn't know what I'm gonna do with my life, so I became like day trader as a prop, they call it like perpetual trader, right? So I have, yeah, so I have like a lot of like financial backup, especially like stock trader. Right. So I would love to help people like, to identify those who ha need some kind of needs, and then like, it will help them to achieve their financial goals, the way I want to be.
So you wanted to help people. You first started off as a day trader, but you realized you wanted to help people, and this was a way to combine helping people with finance, putting it all together, so to speak. Yeah, I see. And it's amazing you are a day trader. For me, doing something like that is like so scary to, to trade stock. You have to have the emotional,
The
right. You have to have the emotional will to do that. So you're better than me, I would say. So I'm curious. Now, you've obviously been helping people for a number of years. What is the current state of, you think, the financial landscape, and what challenges has the pandemic posed?
The challenge is how do you prospect people, how do you meet people, and how you gonna, help them in, like online virtually, right? Because like one, no one wanna see you in person. So that's why you have to like, you have to find the way that to help people, especially this is like dark time, because pandemic, people are have like life threatening, right? So the most at that moment, right, I mean like last year, people are looking for life insurance. It's like the best person they're looking for because like, as you see the number like going up, right? People are people got disease, people who have like passed away because like COVID-19, right? So life insurance is help them to protect their assets, protect their, their loved one, right? So it's like something that they need. So by that time, I was very busy like to do like prospecting. Luckily, right, because I work with like a top financial insurance company, New York Life, so they transform within 1 month from, from meeting in person to Zoom meeting. So yeah, so everything is just, they're completely like, transformed the system within 1 month. So I'm so happy that, once, they train you to help people virtually, especially Zoom meeting, otherwise I would be stuck somewhere, because I wouldn't be able to meet person and I wouldn't be able to help people, especially like, they need the most,
Interesting. So I guess with crisis, there comes opportunity. And so now instead of meeting in person, you're meeting virtually. But I guess in many ways that helps you to save time and money. So, there's a lot of people I've spoken with who've done better during the pandemic who have thrived because of this.
It's like, either like you're going to fail because like it's crisis, right? Or you want to change the crisis to become opportunity. That's
right.
Why I see the opportunity during the crisis. That's why you have to grab it and change the crisis into, new opportunity.
Right. Definitely. And, in Chinese, in Mandarin, the symbol for crisis also includes opportunity, which is interesting.
Yeah. It's like everywhere, but, either you find it as opportunity or you find it as failure,
Yes, definitely. So there is a silver lining in all this, which is great. And, if they say if life gives you lemon, you make lemonade. And so you're definitely, making that lemonade.
Yeah.
I'm curious, where do you see things going in the future, and where do you see yourself in that future?
In the future, of course, I will see myself as like a financial advisor, like expert, because I'm thinking to get seminar, set up a seminar, right? Which is I'm not ready to do yet at this moment because, a lot of things, right? Plus, I need to take my license, so I see myself as, a more trustful financial advisor, And I also, help people since, a lot networking people, right? And also people who come to see me, right? They always need help. When you start it, right, it's kind of hard struggling, right? Because I came from another side of my job. So now it's like finance and it's like insurance. When you talk about insurance, people just try to run away from you. If they come to see you at the beginning, you're like, okay. And then some people, they don't want to talk to you again, But somehow, they will come back and talk to you and they will, okay, this is what I'm ready for it, and this is what, we can talk about it, This is what, the most challenging for me, because, they may don't want to talk to you at the beginning, but, later on, they know what they're doing, right? They know what I'm doing, so they're going to come back to see you, because they definitely, people need help in some kind of aspect for me, Because I think everyone's born, right? Everyone passed away. Everyone needs retirement. Everyone needs health insurance. Everyone needs to set up their financial goal. So it's non-skill of them don't have it. But you have to be there at the right time. That's what I'm thinking,
Okay, that's amazing. And it's interesting how you have to have that thick skin, how some people may want to stop talking to you or, not like what you're doing. And you have to overcome that fear of rejection. But it's interesting how you said people sometimes will come back to you. So a lot of times people, they may not say yes now, but they'll say yes later, which is amazing. So you have to have the patience and obviously the fortitude. And it's interesting when you talk about insurance and whatnot that everyone needs this. I'm wondering, why do you think people neglect getting insurance and setting up a will and saving for retirement and all that and, getting life insurance, health insurance and whatnot? You hear about celebrities like Prince and Aretha Franklin, they died and they never set up a will. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think people neglect doing that stuff when everyone, like you said, should do it?
There's a lot of reasons, right? But those are kind of more objection that I received as Prince don't have it. I believe he doesn't have time to do it because he's a famous singer, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people give me a reason that, I don't have time. Either they're busy with their life, either they're busy with their children, right?
Yes.
So they forget and they don't think I'm too young. I'm too young. I'm not going to, nothing can happen to me, right? Then I don't have money, which is not right, because sometimes you don't need money to set up your financial plan. But you do, either you don't have money, but people spend money on cell phone. People spending on sneakers. A new pair of sneakers, like $500 pair of sneakers. People spend on like Chanel bags, you know. People spend on expensive watch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't have time to spend that for themselves and for people that love them, you know.
Mm.
So this is what happened, that people don't set up anything for financial plan, you know.
Mm.
Because like no one plans to fail, right? But if they don't plan, they're definitely gonna fail.
Oh, I see. So it's several different factors here. You're saying that a lot of people they say they don't have the time, but clearly they should make the time because it's so important and critical, even if they're quote unquote busy. And obviously so many people don't think they're going to die, or it's not something they want to contemplate, you know, when it comes to, you know, purchasing life insurance. And people think that, you know, if they're young, they can live forever and that they're invincible and whatnot. And I like what you said about how so many people spend money on cell phones, bags, and you know.
People spend, like, you know, on something that depreciation value instead of, you know, appreciation value, which is people don't realize that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you're out there, obviously, trying to make that case to folks and convince them of this. And I'm curious, like, now some people may look at a financial advisor and view them as an unnecessary middle person. You know, maybe they can, you know, a person could study this on their own or read a book. I mean, why do you think someone should use a financial advisor instead of just going out on their own, you think?
First of all, there are many, let's say, website, new technology, right? Try to set up, like third party that you don't have to deal with direct financial advisor. Right, which is more convenient. But then when you figure out that when you need something, what you have to talk to them, you talk to like representative, which is like, you know, you have to wait on hold, right? Instead of you have your own financial advisor, which is you don't have to wait. They're just going to figure out and, you know, give you like direct call and maybe like, you know, keep in touch with you forever, right? This is what I'm thinking, like people may they don't need it, but definitely, like, somehow they need it. Financial advisor, people who are listening to you, to your problems, right? And figure out your problems, right? Because, like, you always have life change, let's say, like, you know, your family, you're getting married, you have a kid, some people die, right? That's just your life change. No one can stick with the same plan, like, forever, right? So, you know, so that's why, like, I try to review their life situation every year. Let's figure out, like, you know, is this plan going to be with you? Is it going to be okay? If not, we can figure out something else. This is what, like, you know, I'm here for. And I believe that all financial advisors want to be there when they need it, you know? Not just, like, you look it up at Google, you find your own, you know, answer which is right, maybe right, maybe not right, you know? That's what I believe, you know?
No, I totally understand. This is something that you guys go to school for, you study, and you have to pass a lot of tests, you know, license and whatnot. So you're far more knowledgeable than the average person who might, you know, think they can do it, you know, do it on their own. And you can tell them about different options that, you know, a lot of folks don't know are available. I think everyone should have a financial advisor at some point. I think it's so important. And I'm curious now, the only thing is, now with financial advisors, there's so many of you guys out there. I go to networking events and a lot of people are financial advisors, sometimes working with the same company. And so many people start off as financial advisors and then quit at some point early on because obviously it's tough. You know, you have to, like you said, people sometimes run away from you. How do you stand out? How do you make it? Like, how do you survive as a financial advisor? Like, how do you differentiate yourself from others? Because oftentimes you guys sell the same or similar products.
I believe that everyone has their own strategy, right? But the thing is, like, New York Life have the system, and I follow the system, which is, like, they have a successful system. So I met a lot of people who work in the same company, but they don't follow the system. They believe in themselves, which is, you know, sometimes it's not like you believe in yourself 100%, but you have to trust the system and put this effort into the system, and, right? So that's why I stand out, because I believe in the system. And also I have my own market, too. So you have to look for your own market. Right, so I have like half of my market, half of my clients in my market, and also other half, which is like based on referrals, based on people who I met, and based on like the events that we set up. Right? And also a lot of things that I got referrals back from, you know, people who I know and people who believe in me, right? So it's like Dana. Yeah.
Interesting. So you follow a system that the company set out for you, and you don't deviate. So it's interesting how there's a proven plan that people can follow, and they oftentimes just want to do it on their own, even though they try to reinvent the wheel. But you're saying you follow the system that other successful agents have followed. As they say, you know, success leaves clues. You know, you can follow what other people have done. And so, yeah, it's so simple, but so many people don't do it, which is weird.
And one more thing is, like, you know, because we're changing, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be, like, 100% in person. So we have I have to do, like, you know, online advertising. So this is, like, one of, like, you know, half of my clients came from online system, too. Advertising, you know, I have my own brochures and, you know, even flyers, right? So we set up some type of community, and, you know, I help people, like, in my community achieve that goal, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. And you said before that you also, you have your own market. Like, do you mean you have your own kind of niche, your own specific group that you tend to, you know, go after, so to speak? Which so many successful people talk about focusing on that specific group or client instead of just saying you're for everyone, you know, it helps a lot. And you also talked about how you get, you know, referrals, and referrals are so important. And you also said you hold events do events, or maybe I misheard, but getting back to the referrals, obviously everyone wants to get to a point where they mostly rely on referrals or solely rely on referrals, and networking is so important for that. I met you at a networking event. I meet so many financial advisors at networking events. What advice would you give to people when it comes to networking and getting those referrals and whatnot?
A lot of people are thinking like, it's easy to get referrals, but it's not that easy because people tend to, you know, am I going to be able to trust you? First of all, you have to be trust advisor first, right?
Right, right.
And also, after you gain those trust, they're going to believe in you. They're going to send you referrals. They're going to give you, like, you know, people that, you know, this person, right, is trustful. So they give, like, better, they're helpful, right, to your life, you know? So this is what I gain, like, you know, so I recommend people who go networking, so you have to get to know, connect people as much as you can, right? Because you never know, like, one day you may not see them again, or one day I will see you again. Which is hard when you go networking, you met, like, a ton of people, and, you know, either you don't connect with them, but once you connect with them, right? But right now we have a lot of channels. We have, like, Facebook, right? LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So either like Twitter, you know, so you can connect with one of them with like those channels.
Yeah.
So it's very convenient.
Right. Well, thank you so much for that. And obviously it's something that people have to have patience when it comes to networking. People, you know, it takes time. And you mentioned trust, which is so important, because obviously as a financial advisor, you're working very intimately with people, knowing a lot of private details oftentimes of their life. And I spoke with one financial advisor. He said that he's almost like a life coach to his clients, you know. So they definitely have to trust you. And I, you know, it's so important. Obviously, you have to come off as trustworthy. You have to connect with these people. Yeah, that, I think that's so critical and so key. And for them to also introduce you to their, you know, close friends and family, they definitely have to trust you in order to get for them to give you names of people they know. I'm curious. Can you tell us any of the most like moving or entertaining stories of your career of how you, you know, have helped others with financial advising?
The thing is like funny, right? Then people like try to, you know, if they need you, right? They try to keep calling you. They try to, you know, do everything they can, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you try to connect with them, people never gonna want to call you back. People don't want to like talk to you. This is like, wow. It's like, so, you know, it's just like some kind of so funny for me because I'm sometimes like, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have to connect with some other people instead of like, you know, check out with this person, right? And then you realize that another person tried to, you know, keep calling you, get in touch with you, try to find out where you are, right? Because they're thinking, like, they meet at the moment, you know? Yeah.
Wow. So something to be mindful of. That people will keep calling you. All right. Well, yeah, obviously you have systems in place to kind of deal with that and know how to handle those kind of things. And again, the job you have, you know, financial advisors fascinate me because you guys have to work on 100% commission. This scares most people, and most people go into it quit. And so you have to kind of build business from scratch. And and I find this like something that's like so hard to do, and so it's interesting. So you guys have to put yourselves out there, network, and you know, and you know, prospect, cold call in some cases. I heard of one gentleman who goes door to door to speak with businesses, and so that's like incredible. But the rewards are high. Many financial advisors make six figures or more. You know, so that's the thing, and it's very deserving because you have to put in the work, so to speak, and it rewards you. I'm curious. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of social ills in society, unfortunately, like sexism and racism, homophobia. I'm wondering, have you faced any discrimination or harassment of any kind as a financial advisor? Has it been a big deal or nothing at all? Or
yes, you know, it's sometimes happened, right? Not just only financial advisor. I believe like all, you know, career that always have this problem, right? Even if you walk on the street, you still have this problem. So one main thing that I try to differentiate the situation that, because like when you have to talk to them, right? Or maybe you have to picture themselves as like a boundary. It's like what I can do, right? This is like, you know,
right?
That is gonna be like I always keep relationship as like professional. So they think like, okay, it's not gonna happen. It's not what's gonna happen. So they know. So you know, so we gotta keep as like a professional relationship.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
So they realize that, you know, nothing can happen. And, you know,
right.
And I prefer to keep myself as a professional, you know, financial advisor, and they know that.
Right. Definitely. Okay. Well, that's great. Obviously, here in New York City, you have to sort of have that thick skin. And it's interesting how you face some harassment walking down the street, which is unfortunate. And obviously, people have to view you through a professional lens, and you have to. I'm sure you're very good at maintaining that. And I'm curious, Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is a lot of times people view those who sell financial services in a negative light because we see all these movies like Boiler Room and Wolf of Wall Street, and we hear stories in the news. I'm curious, what do you think the industry can do to kind of weed out people who may be crooks or criminals, and how have you been able to achieve success while maintaining, you know, high ethics?
The thing is, like, the most, you know, you have to learn a lot of things, right?
Mm.
That's why the most successful people, they're always learning. They're always learning new things, right?
Right.
Even, like, you always, you know, even you know this aspect, but then to become more, you know, rules always change, laws always change, right? So you have to learn something new. There's always something new. So you have to be on the top of that, you know? Otherwise, you know, every year the laws change, right? This year, let's say, like, you know, this year contribution change, right? Retirement contribution change. If you don't know that, you already, you know, you already fell to help people. So you have to know the new law that's come out. Even like, you know, skill act that came out right after COVID-19, right? Those skill acts help people, you know, can withdraw their retirement. So you have to be on top of that during COVID-19. Yeah.
Interesting. So it's curious how you said people always have to keep learning as a financial advisor.
Never stop learning. Even like, you know.
You don't stop studying even after you pass the test, because the laws change. It's regulated. It's a tightly regulated industry, and I think maybe that helps to weed out a lot of the, you know, bad folks who are maybe criminally minded and whatnot. So and obviously a lot of laws have changed recently. So I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone who wants to be a financial advisor, particularly a woman, you know, but it doesn't necessarily have to be geared toward a woman. Like, what tips would you give to someone who wants to start a profession like this?
Because, like, in this market, not just this market, every market, right, if you have, like, women professionals, they understand each other. Right, all situations, because a woman, they understand, like, what they want, instead of, like, you know, and they feel more skilled, right?
Right.
Because some people feel comfortable to talk to women advisors, to talk to, let's say, women doctors, right? So, you know, so people who want to come in this business, you have to be yourself, right? And in order, you have to put clients' best interest. You know, this is like, that's why, you know, you figure out what's the problem. So you try to help them. It's just, I know, like, everybody has their own problem. But, you know, in the woman market, they feel more secure. So they feel like, okay, I feel like she can help me better than, you know, other guys, you know.
Right. Okay, so it's so important that people understand that they have to put the best interest of the client first and foremost. I think you also mentioned it's important to be yourself. So I think that's so key. It's all about wanting to help others, like you said before, and it has to be a genuine desire to want to help others, because it comes through, and that makes people, I guess, want to trust you, so to speak, because they see you're not in it for yourself. What advice would you give to someone who's looking for a financial advisor?
First, you have to get to know from people that you know first, right? Let's say you can ask people who surround you, your friends, your family, right? Because I believe like all of them, they have their own financial advisor. But if not, you can look it up for the top firm. Let's say, like, the company that you trust, right? The company which has famous, I mean, if the company, they have their own reputation, right? Let's say the company have top financial advisor. That's what you're looking for. And then you're looking for, like, you know, identify, right, what needs that you need. You need your time, is you need interest.
Right. Right.
You need to invest. That's what you have to look for, like, differentiate, you know, the firm first. And then now you're looking for, like, okay, somebody who can help. Is this going to be in your area, close by?
Mm.
Or you have to make a phone call. This is be like for some day. This is sometimes.
Right.
It's going to be hard to deal with it, you know, because you don't want to wait on the phone call, right? Maybe you need some people, I mean, the office, the company that can help you, like, around your area. Yeah.
All right. So, looking at the, you know, the big name, obviously you work for New York Life, which is a big name.
Yeah.
And it, so the top firms, you know, you look at the reputation of the firms. And also you want a person, a firm that's easy to reach, you know, it's easy to connect with, which is so important. So thank you so much for that advice. And I'm curious what, in addition to the things you've already mentioned, I mean, what important life lessons have you learned yourself or from others that you'd like to just share with us?
Let's say like, you know, I'm sorry, can you repeat that question again?
Sure, no worries. What important life lessons or life advice would you give to that you've learned yourself or from others that you'd like to share with us?
Okay. So I met a lot of people who spend a lot of money instead of just saving money.
Right.
After they earn. So my life lesson is so save first and then spend the rest.
Yes.
Right, because like you know, a lot of people get in trouble because they spend and they save after they, you know, after they have left, which is to be like opposite side. So if you want to become like financial success, right? Like financial, you want to have your own financial freedom. You don't want to work until the last of the month. So you have to start saving even your 20s. The faster, you know, the earlier that you start, the more money you have.
Right. So that's important advice, that people should save. The earlier, the better. Obviously, we all know the miracle of compound interest. So, and it's crazy how so many people spend
and
money
the
on.
And so many foods,
Right. And it's interesting how so many people spend money on, you know, items that, you know, don't have that much value, like bags and whatnot or other things, other items. So I think it's so important that people don't spend as much and save for things like retirement and whatnot. And that's why you're here, to tell people the importance of doing that. And I'm curious, what book recommendations would you give to people when it comes to, you know, success, learning about success and personal development and whatnot?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
Sure. What book recommendations, what are your favorite books on that you'd like, that you would give to others to read, to suggest, you know, when it comes to learning about success and personal development or anything else for that matter?
What I just want you, you know, people to read the book about, you know, keep doing it, right? Never give up. Because, like, you know, I have a lot of, let's say, like, you know, life situation. This is like, I'm not going to be able to make it, but I never give up. So I just want to
never
keep,
give
like,
up.
Same example, life situation, and like, you know, you're going to be successful one day, you know, if you don't give up. You have to keep doing it until, you know, you know, get out of your comfort zone. Yeah, get out from your comfort zone. That's what you're going to learn more. And then, like, you know, you will be, like, learn something new. Never, you know, afraid of failure.
Right.
This is just a part of your success.
Definitely. And I think that's such key advice, to never give up. Perseverance is so important and a key trait among most, you know, successful people. You know, don't quit and overcome that fear of failure. So thank you so much for that. And would you ever one day write a book yourself about your own life or advice you'd give to people, like have your own book?
Oh, yes, I do.
You would?
I would love
okay.
that. Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to still have time to write the book, but, you know, it will be interesting.
All right.
I have,
definitely.
Life journey. If it's long,
yes.
You know, it's like I would believe in myself. You know, if I look back when I was young, right, because I always have a dream to come here to America. But, you know, I'm not, I wasn't, my family wasn't, you know, rich, right? So I came from like middle class, which is going to need a lot of money to, you know, came to America to graduate, you know, from university, you know, from MBA, right? This is right, yeah. So, yeah, struggling, and then, you know, it's a long way, but I did everything that I want, and then, like, I have everything I want.
All right. Well, okay. And when you do write that book, I'll be the first person to buy it.
You
know, so you have
thank
one
you
customer.
So much. Yeah, I will let you know.
Yes. And, you know, I also suggest people start their own podcast. So that's something you could look into as well. It really helps with networking. And if you do have one, I'll be a listener, of course.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, can you describe all the ways that people can reach out and have you in their network? Or if they need or can know someone who needs your services?
Okay. At this moment, right, we have pandemic, so I want to go back to my office. So the best way to reach out to me is my cell phone, right? 646-598-9228. And my email address is KPEANKURDFUK, it's my last name, the whole last name is just wrong, right? At F as a Frank, T as a Tom, dot NewYorkLife.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. By the way, the information you just provided will also be available for people to see it and read it in the episode description box. So it'll be right there as well. All right. Thank you so much for that.
Okay.
So, again, I actually wanted to go ahead and thank you for coming on and being a guest on the show. It's greatly appreciated. I know you're very busy, so I'm glad that you thought that sitting down and having a chat with us was a worthwhile endeavor. I'm very appreciative of that, and I'm very thankful to the audience out there for listening. You've given us a lot of incredible advice and wisdom, and so it's I can see why you've had lots of success as a financial advisor. So we're about to we're about to wrap up. Do you have any last words, or I'm going to give you the send off here?
Start investing too. Don't forget to, you know, start investing little by little and learn from it.
Got it. That's such key critical advice. Thank you so much for that and for coming on the show. And thank you for everyone for listening. I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. Everyone, have a wonderful day, and have a wonderful weekend. Today, I believe, is Thursday. Okay, so have a wonderful rest of the week. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. So we can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.